Jhené and Gola Jr., the podcast.
For what it's worth, toast smells great. So there's part of me that thinks you actually wound up in a pretty decent situation on Friday.
Toast, burnt toast. It was burnt toast.
You didn't say burnt toast. You said toast.
Hold on. We're clear. I just sniffed my hair. We're clear. And I looked at my candle over here, and now I'm just like a little nervous. Which I'm like,
I appreciate the fact that you still go back to the well on the candle and you are not deterred even after lighting your hair on fire last week.
That is probably one of the adult things. Like, I found myself using measuring tape more. Like, oh, I need to buy this. Let me get the measuring tape, keep it in my purse. And then my candle purchases. Like, now that's my adulting type of things. But yes, I recovered from my hair. And I told my mom actually yesterday, because I had to wait like 48 hours because she freaks out. And so I told my mom, and she's like, oh my gosh, Jhené, there's a woman that like used hand sanitizer in her. I was like, mom, I'm fine. I'm okay. I was on the phone with dad. She's like, wait, your dad knew? Your dad knew first? Ooh. I was like, mom, it's all good. We're fine.
But
we made it.
Nothing like having to be diplomatic about how you explain to your parents and in what order you explain to your parents how your hair caught on fire your national radio show. It's Jhené Gola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the show, Penzoil Performance Line. It's a hard conversation to have.
It is, but like the funny thing is my dad, I'm goofy like my dad, and so my dad was on the phone while it was on fire. So like he knew in real time. So that I was like, mom, no, he was just on the phone while it was happening. He was like, what? And he still didn't tell me. But hey, we recovered. Your girl's hair is still here. The show is literally lit. It's Monday. We've got football back. We're in the NBA playoffs. We're good.
We do. We have a lot of good things working for us right now. We want to get to more of your calls, by the way, 888-729-3776. Speaking of Labor Day and the debate that's raged inside the studio about the judgmental blue cheese crowd that's wandered into this joint. And so ranch versus blue cheese
is
the
subject. I'm just like hating my shirt now because I'm wearing blue. I'm like, oh.
Oh, wow. You say big blue cheese has gotten to you early on this one. Their money and lobbying knows no bounds. 888-SAY-ESPN. State your case for ranch or blue cheese. But Jhené, this weekend we had College Game Day kick off for the first time. Now, it was a digital show. We know they're going to be moving on the road. I believe Herbie said week one they're going to be at Wake Forest for that game to start the season. But they were talking this weekend, and as a part of Game Day this weekend, we had a roundtable put together and led by our own Maria Taylor. It included the likes of Hunter Reynolds, Michigan defensive back, Dylan Bowles, the Stanford defensive end, Darian Rencher, the Clemson running back, Javon Holland from Oregon, Trey Smith from Tennessee, Joseph Asai from Texas, and Marvin Wilson from Florida State. She spoke with those players about what this summer had been like for them, as we had seen athletes find their voices and use those voices to help further causes around social justice that were near and dear to them. And what we saw in response to that segment was a really emotional response from our own Kirk Herbstreit, who everyone's familiar with, our great ESPN college football analyst. Wanted to play for everyone and see Herbie's reaction to really this entire summer and the groundswell of emotion around this subject.
The black community is hurting. If you've listened, and the word empathy and compassion over these last 4 months, how do you listen to these stories and not feel pain and not want to help? You know what I mean? It's like wearing a hoodie and putting your hands at 10 and 2. Oh God, I better look out because I'm wearing Nike gear. Like, what? What are we talking about? And so you can't relate to that if you're white, but you can listen and you can try to help, because this is not okay. It's just not. And we got to do better, man. We gotta like lock arm in arm and be together in a football locker room. That stuff is gone. Those barriers are gone. And we gotta do better.
And Jhené, I think seeing that response for a lot of people, you saw that resonate with everyone that had watched on Game Day, and seeing that emotion from Herbie, I'm curious, Jhené, as someone, we've talked about this a lot, and I'm sure Herbie has talked about this a lot over the summer, but something about that moment certainly struck a chord with him. What did it mean for you seeing that?
It meant a lot. It really did mean a lot, because being a part of the basketball community, I feel like sometimes we have these conversations, and because of the nature in which our league is, people might be a little bit more amenable to what we're saying. But in different leagues, it's different standards. You know, other leagues have different struggles, and they're trying to confront what these issues are in real time. But I think one thing that we've witnessed the last few months is the solidarity amongst athletes, no matter what the sport is. And so now with, you know, basketball being back in the NBA and the WNBA using their platforms for positive power and change, now it's college football's time to be back. We will see soon with the NFL, but when it comes to college football, this is the crew that, you know, I love. This is College Game Day. These are the guys that I really appreciate every contribution that they bring. But starting with that, first with Maria, bringing the athletes together so that you can hear the stories. And then even Herbie, you know, I feel like as a black woman, I say things and people may not be able to relate, just because they don't see themselves in seeing me, right? And also, I'm like an anomaly. I'm 6'3", you know, that type of stuff. But with Herbie, the beauty of his gift is that he joins us all in, you know, all different spaces, and people might relate to him differently than they relate to me. And for him, especially in a sport where it's all about defense and physicality and confrontation and toughness, for him to be vulnerable in that moment, and I just get this like idea of, you know, football, you take off the helmet and now you're standing in your truth, you know, like you're not afraid of getting hit. You're showing your true self. You're showing that you care. That hopefully resonates with people that may not understand my pathway or my like or my story. But with him, if he cares just as much as I'd hope he would, maybe you can resonate and relate to that. And to me, that was the beautiful thing, that he was willing to, you know, take his helmet off and really just listen and show what he's been feeling. And hopefully that can relate to people. It takes all of us, not just me, not just you. You know, it takes everyone to sort of push this message that things like this can't go on. We shouldn't stand for them to go on, and we should stand with the players. As much as you support the athletes, stand with, you know, like stand with them when they're trying to fight back for football, when they're fighting for social justice. That's the ultimate relatable aspect, and I'm glad Herbie really had a moment.
Changle Jr. here on ESPN Radio, and I think you're right, just seeing it on the platform. College Game Day reaches a lot of people. We know college football is in a lot of different communities. It's not just in communities that are predominantly black, predominantly white, anything like that. There's a lot of different communities that get to see that message broadcast on College Game Day. And Herbie's reaction, you're right, should be, you know, important for a lot of those reasons, because he's such a prominent figure in the sport, because people are used to seeing and getting college football from him and now have to reckon with this in this space. It should also bring the focus back to, and you mentioned it, to what these players have done, to what Maria Taylor's done, and the voice and how important she's been for our college football coverage here, and the way that she's led all throughout this summer in a lot of different ways and beyond that. And like you said, to where people need to support, because Trevor Lawrence tweeted this out the other day. Statement from the college football players. Remember, Pac-12 United, all the Big Ten players, the We Want to Play unit had all really come together when that movement was really gaining a lot of traction. And people were saying, you know what? We should listen to all these players. They seem to know what they're doing and have a lot going on. Statement put out last night. Over the course of the past year, our country has witnessed some of the most atrocious racial injustices against countless black and African American people. Too many have fallen victim to racial injustice and systemic inequities. Enough is enough. Real change must come. As we return to our respective campuses and most of us suit up in pads for the 2020 season, we realize the power we have to enact this change. We, the players, have a voice, and we will use it to drive out injustice, improve our communities, and inspire future generation with the hashtag OurVoiceMatters. They went on to outline actionable steps that they want to use to create real change, ensure all of our teammates are registered to vote, and have November 3rd free from athletic obligations so they can vote. Discuss with our president's administrators to further raise awareness about racial injustice and create initiatives to further empower our communities. Create community outreach initiatives via clothing, food, school supply, and book drives, as well as amplifying current local organizations that are benefiting communities. Have normalized routine conversations about change, whether policing, legal rights, addressing racial injustice, etc., between college football teams and our respective police departments, local governments, and community leaders to build trust and empathy. And on game days, utilize their platform by wearing shirts and utilizing statements on helmets and jerseys, as well as videos. All of this this laid out there, all of this for that same crowd that said, we want to support the player's voice and the way that they use it. Now I hope that that is met with similar energy when it comes to these important topics. That, again, this isn't a one-off. The players have been saying this all summer. And as we mentioned, having a platform like Game Day to continue to broadcast that and to have faces like the ones that we saw on that, like Trevor Lawrence, to do that, that's big stuff. And that's stuff that I hope that keeps up as we go forward in this college football season. Again, a powerful moment there, a lot that we wanted to lean into on that. We will continue to look for moments like that as they come up this season, because that's not going to be the end of what we see in all of this. But we also have to look ahead and look back to the ranch debate that is destroying this show from the inside out.
My mentions are in shambles.
It's terrifying what's going on right now in our mentions, on the phone lines here. We'll get to all that next. Plus, looking ahead to some of tonight's NBA action on Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. I just heard something during the break that is absolute, like, gospel. Like, you can form my new religion around this following statement from Chinay Igwumike here on ESPN Radio. Chinay, you just received a tweet. It's Labor Day. Everyone's celebrating. It's an underrated cookout day. People are busting everything out. They're around the grill. They're hopefully with family. They're hopefully being safe. And they're hopefully using ranch dressing as a part of their life. And if they're not, and if they choose blue cheese, you and I both agree that's something that's okay. That's something that's palatable. But man, if you put the shoe on the other foot and make that a blue cheese looking at ranch situation, we have found a lot of judgment. So we want to get back to the phones on that, 888-729-3776. But Chinay, you have received what I believe is an anointed tweet on this subject. Do you mind reading it for us?
It's from @Scola10. Shout out to Scola, because that's one of my favorite Houston Rockets players, Louis Scola, but I digress. @Chinay, ranch is essentially the bacon of condiments. Mm. It makes everything better. You get snaps from Snangle Jr.
That is church. That is on God and on everything I love. Excuse me?
What else can you insert into a food group that makes it better? And I go back to burgers. Okay, first of all, you can eat it straight up for breakfast. I even put bacon in my salads at Salada.
Yep.
It's very versatile. Yep. Cliff, what's going on here?
Anything. If something is extremely versatile, it's hot sauce. Like, that's it.
Correct.
Like, ranch is not that versatile.
Which marries perfectly
with ranch. We're talking about bacon.
Oh, that's not the same thing. You can't say ranch universally just makes absolutely everything better, like a burger.
But it does.
No, it doesn't.
It makes everything better. It's better on pizza, which, by the way, I saw people slandering Little Caesars and Hot and Ready. Get out of your feelings and get back into your common sense and remember who's been there for you.
Wait,
when
hold
the times
on.
Were tough.
Listen,
you got to throw hands with people who come at
Hot
Little Caesars,
and Ready?
By the way.
Yes. What's the best pizza out there, though?
Oh, listen, we got a whole different day to have that subject right now. We're talking about ranch. It's Chinay and Golic
Jr.
You
said Hot and Ready.
Presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers, you save with Progressive. Save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we can save you hundreds on your car insurance. We will have that debate surrounding blue cheese and ranch in just a minute here. But, Chinay, I have to look at tonight, because we do have basketball happening again in the association tonight. That kicks off very soon, by the way, with the Celtics and Raptors. And, man, I'm glad this series deserves to go the distance, because these two teams, to me, are basically Spider-Man pointing meme at one another. They're one
yes.
Jason Tatum away from being basically the perfect mirror image of each other. But as we've seen now, Toronto went down 0-2, has battled back in this one. Do you have a sense of one way or another? Because to me, I probably still give it to the Celtics in seven in this series. I think because you've got someone who's bordering on transcendent talent like Jason Tatum, you've probably got the edge. But we know Toronto is battle-tested in all the ways they're a perfect part of their brand.
Never count Toronto out. But I think the Celtics, their talent level is just different. But the thing is, Toronto's team level is different. They play hard and they battle and they believe in each other. So much so that when we had, you know, OG Anunoby hitting that shot, no one saw that coming. But what we did see coming was the Celtics. Like, and I just went on SportsCenter earlier today. When we talk about the Celtics team, obviously, Jason Tatum is a star, like rising star, but he is a star. When he plays his top game, he is top in the league. Jaylen Brown really struggled last game. He shot the ball 18 times. When Jaylen Brown is struggling and there's no Gordon Hayward, even though I believe I heard that he might be reentering the bubble, so there's hope maybe if they can go longer distance that he'd be able to provide a boost. I think he was supposed to be out 4 weeks, a couple weeks ago. When Jaylen Brown is struggling, Kemba Walker said that he needs to be more aggressive. And I absolutely agree. He only shot the ball 9 times last game. 9 times. When Jaylen is struggling and he shoots at 18, Kemba can insert himself. And so the upside for Boston with Kemba sort of being aggressive, Jaylen shooting better than what he did before, which he probably won't scrape that low, you know, when it comes to shooting. And Jason Tatum just being Jason Tatum, the Celtics are a team that could definitely make it to the East Finals and even possibly like the NBA Finals. Now, on the other end, you talk about Toronto. What they sort of stumbled upon by being perseverant is that Pascal Siakam has finally found his game again. This is a guy that it's taken him a while to figure out his one-on-one game, especially when the game slows down, because this is a guy that gets it good in transition. When he's in flow, downhill, one or two defenders in front of him can attack, can use his length and his speed. Now in the half court, he's found his game. So there are two things working for each team. You have Jaylen Brown being that he's probably not going to shoot that bad again. You have Kemba Walker saying he's going to be more aggressive, and you've got Jason Tatum. And then on the other hand, you've got Pascal Siakam finding his game, Kyle Lowry stepping up in a supporting cast that can hold it down too. So now that sort of amounts to exactly what your prediction is. This could go the distance. This can go 7 games.
Yeah, I feel like the big difference tends to be, and this is a phrase I always borrow from John Donowski, who's the Duke men's lacrosse coach. He says every offense needs a party starter. And I think when you've got someone like Jason Tatum who commands so much attention in the way that a lot of these stars do in the modern NBA, it creates that attention in a way that facilitates so much more than the alternative where you're looking for, all right, who's it going to be with Pascal? Is it going to be Kyle Lowry on a given night who have the ability? But when you've got the consistency the rest of your team can build on, I think it creates a better building ground for what the Celtics have going forward, a chance for success. And a lot of people, I think I heard our own Jeff Van Gundy say it the other night, he thinks they can win it all during the course of this season. 888-729-3776, Rancher Blue Cheese, state your case. Tom in Rochester. Tom, you're on Chenea and Golic Jr. Ranch or blue cheese?
It's got to be blue cheese, and I've got proof.
Oh, proof.
Proof. Buffalo hot sauce wings, they all started in Buffalo, right?
Yeah.
It's a given, okay? The Sabres, Buffalo's hockey team, plays at HSBC Arena, okay?
Okay.
HSBC stands for Hot Sauce Blue Cheese.
Wow. Wow. All right, Tom, thank you for the call. You know what? At the very least, I will say this man brought facts-based evidence to the party.
Look, I am here. His name is Tom.
Tom.
Shout out to Tom. That's next level. Almost as good as 45 plus 10 equals Big Ten football.
Right? I'm telling you.
That was facts behind the facts.
That was facts behind this reason and this. The biggest contribution from a man named Tom since we got MySpace in this entire situation.
We're going to forget about Brady. It's all good. Okay.
Ooh, that's a good call. Best Toms in sports is the top four coming somewhere near you. Let's go to Scott in Nevada quick. Scott, you're on Chenea and Golic Jr. Ranch or hot sauce, Scott?
I'm going Team Ranch on this, guys. You can put ranch on multitude of things. The possibilities are endless, whereas everybody calling in about blue cheese is always bringing it back to chicken wings. So you can always substitute ranch in for something that blue cheese can go on, but you can't always substitute blue cheese on something ranch goes on.
Ooh.
Great point.
Good point.
Listen.
Would you put blue cheese on your pizza and eat it? No.
Cliff nodding.
Cliff,
head.
Would
yes.
you?
It's blind allegiance.
It's 100%. Yes, I've done it.
Just saying it to be controversial at this point. Hot take, Cliff. Add it again. 888-729-3776. We'll keep going back to the well on that one until we find enough people that agree with ranch to satisfy.
What about
my
your
craving.
Family? Your family has to have a take on it.
Yeah. You know what? Coming up right next, because I have that sitting in my text right here, we'll give you the Mike Golic Sr. official take on the ranch and blue cheese debate on a Labor Day like no other. That's next. It's Chenea and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Chenea and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I know for a lot of people, Labor Day weekend, getting some time, hang out outside, hopefully see family, be around people. But Chenea, this Monday morning, we're coming in here. I mean, it's not Monday morning. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But I woke up this morning, and I did feel more excited because we've been talking about it. The NFL offseason has been strange. And leading up till this point, now we're in week one of the season. Thursday night kicks off with Houston and the Kansas City Chiefs getting to play. But for a lot of people, it hasn't felt like football. Today was the first time, like, everything just hit different this morning.
It really did, and especially it being Labor Day, where people naturally are outside enjoying the sun, barbecuing, enjoying their family, eating good food. It's like a tailgate holiday. So the combination of football being on Thursday and then also us sort of doing our own quarantine, whatever it is, virtual, whatever it takes to get it done, Labor Day in 2020, it feels good.
It's Shane Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. And I think that's just it, is we've been having to kind of go about piecing everything together. It's been a very different offseason in a lot of ways, and different season as basketball, hockey, and every other sport has gotten up and gotten going. And we knew, and we talked about it, football had this really long runway to get to that time period. But maybe it's just the combination of seeing college football played this weekend and knowing what a difficult road that's been. Watching right now in a raw feed, BYU and Navy getting ready to warm up, that game getting ready to get played tonight. It all just feels, and I know we all selfishly crave this feeling of normalcy, but getting to look at, all right, how did the rosters shake out after cutdown weekends in the NFL? Seeing Deshaun Watson get paid and that money go out there, it all just made it feel a little bit more like the seasons that we're used to.
Yeah, absolutely. What are your plans for this week?
My plans for this week are to not move and to just take as much football directly into my neck as humanly possible. And like, I understand, like, a lot of people look at me sideways because I've been very vocal about being unsure if playing college football, especially because there's different, you know, moral situations. There's a different ethical conundrum with college football than there is for the NFL for a lot of different reasons that we've gotten into. But it doesn't change the fact that, like, seeing football on my screen is the thing I love. It's the thing I've always loved in this spot. And so getting ready to see these two teams play tonight in college, getting ready to see Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, like two of the best quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, yes, that we've got in the league, go off on Thursday night. Like, all of that still makes me happy, even if the offseason that's led into it has been one that's been a lot of conflicted feelings for me. Like, I think that's okay for everybody to admit.
I agree. I think it's now, we're in a no-judgment zone. Everyone is doing the best with what they have. And now that we see football in different semblances, and now we have the NFL coming up, I'm so excited for, most importantly, my favorite team out of them all. The Chi Neighborhood. Or, I wonder if I can say this. How do I say it? Super Cam, that bro.
Oh, God.
Super Cam, that though.
Super Cam, that though, is probably the best edit of that phrase right here.
Those are my fantasy football team lead names.
Okay, so we've got two fantasy football teams for you this year, correct?
Honestly, I look at the app and I see two names. I put my top two names on there. I think I'm doing it wrong. Okay. But I have the Chi Neighborhood. So welcome to the Chi Neighborhood. And then also the Super Cam, that though.
So we've got two good, you know what, but you've learned the most important part about fantasy football is starting off with a strong name. And so now that you've gotten the foundation of that, we've been through and talked about this with a lot of our experts and NFL insiders that have come on here. Field Yates was with us, who everyone can hear on the Fantasy Football Focus podcast, each and every day, talking about draft strategies in here. Do you have a player that you're eyeing, Chine, as you get to the draft? I think you're picking sixth in our league. That's going to involve Jason Fitz and Sarah Spain, our neighbors to the north here in the ESPN radio lineup. Do you have a player that you're eyeing right now that you're most looking forward to?
I don't know. Someone said I should go with, like, Derrick Henry or something. I'm not sure. At six, I need your help. Who should I draft with a sixth pick, you guys? Because apparently you take QBs later. I would have loved run CMC Christian McCaffrey, but apparently I assume everyone's going to go with that at one.
Yeah. So
you have the fourth pick too.
Yeah, so this is going to be interesting. And I think when we look at the NFL this year, and especially in fantasy football, it's defined by a real, like, five-pack of running backs, starting with Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott, Alvin Kamara. Like, that grouping up there is just in a different tier. But going after running backs early is a win. You're in range, Chine, probably of the best receiver on the board, though, because once you get past that group, it's hard to turn down a Michael Thomas in this situation, a Tyreek Hill in that spot, some of the best and brightest at that position.
Either one of them, but I'm probably going to need a ghost drafter for me. I need, like, a ghost drafter.
Listen, this can be a team effort around here on this show. That's how we operate, that's how we live, and that's how we're going to go about it, which is why we enlisted some help as we were talking about the subject of the day. Chine Angola Jr. is brought to you by 303 Protectant. 303 Protectants and Cleaners keep your car looking new longer. And we were asking people about ranch versus blue cheese, and we decided that we would go to our families on this one and look for advice and guidance there. I obviously got a text right away from my father, Mike Golick Sr., who had this to offer when it comes to, as we talked about, barbecues, cookouts, everything going on today, what you're putting on your food, ranch or blue cheese. My father said, the blue cheese adheres better to the wing, and the chunks of blue cheese give you that blast of taste that mix perfectly with the wing. Ranch is fine. I enjoy that at times, but it can run off the wing rather easily, costing me the perfect balance of ranch and wing flavor. So I understand Dad's contribution on that one. Chinee, you enlisted the help of your sister, NECA, who is still inside the WNBA bubble. Do you think we're cool to let this out into the world, Chinee?
Yeah, sure. Let's let it rip.
All right. This is Chinee talking to her sister, NECA Ogwumike. Again, WNBA champion, former league MVP, president of the WNBA Players Association. Her thoughts on ranch versus blue cheese.
Neck, sorry, I didn't hear you, and I must have spaced out. Ranch or blue cheese, if you're getting a side?
I just told you ranch.
Okay, good. Okay, I'm just making sure. What do you think about people that get blue cheese?
Jenny, who is this going to?
Nobody. I just didn't hear you the first time. I just wanted to make sure you were clear.
I don't know anyone who gets blue cheese on anything.
Okay, same here.
And everyone sitting here is making stank faces when I say blue cheese.
Do they like cheese?
Jenny, blue cheese isn't cheese. I don't consider it cheese.
All right, Nick. Later. Do you know how often that happens where I hit my family with like, hey, by the way, like, don't judge me. Just answer this question in 30 seconds or less.
So they're used to it.
Well, they're so used to it.
All right. Well, apparently that's something we need to get used to around here. Did we get a weigh-in? I know you called your father Peter during the break as well. Where did he fall in on this? Because I'm wondering how age and generations factor into this.
So my dad, according to my notes based on our break, my dad said that he picked blue cheese initially. And I was like, wait, hold on, Dad. Why did you pick blue cheese? He's like, it's better with the celery. But I'm like, Dad, we're focusing on the wings. He's like, oh, if it's the wings, then ranch. So I don't know how to feel about that because he'd order something if he was planning on eating the celery, and he'd order something else when it comes to ranch. But we're a ranch family. My mom, I called her during the break. She said ranch, too. I just feel like it's within a household. Like, we are a ranch family. We didn't expand too far into blue cheese because ranch held it down. Now, your father makes a very good point because you dip the ranch or you dip the wing into the ranch, and sometimes it can slip right off. But if you put the blue cheese, it stays. But the problem there is that it becomes overwhelming. And I don't like anything that overwhelms me because the meat is literally the meat in the hot wing situation. So that's why I err on ranch, because ranch, less is more. Blue cheese, you can put a little dollop and that thing will take over your whole taste buds and your palate. So we grew up in a ranch house. But I guess yours is a little bit more diverse with the palate.
You know what I think about it? Like, you keep the main thing with ranch. Like, you look at the situation with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and LeBron James knows how to perfectly complement who's ever around him. LeBron James might be the ranch of the NBA. No matter where you put him, he's going to make everyone around him better. Blue cheese is kind of like Russell Westbrook on this Houston lineup. It's going to try and do a little bit too much in all these situations. Instead of playing within the confines, blue cheese is just making it out there for blue cheese.
That was superb of an analogy. It's hit or miss sometimes with blue cheese, right, Cliff?
Exactly. It goes too hard in the paint. All right, you know what? We're gonna ignore that right now and try and keep the energy up going forward. We've been battling all morning. Coming up next, I'm going to give us one thing that we could and should come together on as we look towards this weekend in college football. We'll get to that next. It's Chinee Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Chinee and Golick Jr., the podcast.
Chinee and Golick Jr. is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Our producer, Shannon Penn, back after sharing his birthday with Beyonce. I almost called it a birthday on that one, which feels like it would be appropriate anyway.
Yeah, sounds like a straight out of one of the greatest TV shows, Vikings. Vikings, watch it. And also, shout out to Cliff, because that rendition of Before I Let Go probably is number one cookout song this year. I would put Outstanding up there, but like Before I Let Go this year, Beyonce edition at the cookout, that's probably getting the most in the rotation.
That is true. Heavy rotation on this Labor Day Monday. Hope everyone's enjoyed their day, spent the weekend with family and friends, been safe, social distance, all of the good stuff that you got to do in 2020 to make this okay.
And, you know, honestly, on behalf of Golic Jr., we apologize for all the debates we've spurred with ranch and blue cheese. We know you're listening, and then you had thoughts, and then you went to your family and your friends with thoughts, and now that might have created, you know, pent-up energy of debate at your desk. So, yeah, we apologize. We send our condolences.
Well, because, like, we always talk about that. We were talking about the different types of people, because this is, like, an underrated cookout day. Like, it's a second-tier cookout day when it comes to, like, Memorial.
Underrated?
Well, I'm saying, like, Memorial Day weekend, 4th of July, they get the headlines when it comes to cookout holidays. I feel like Labor Day doesn't get the same love.
Yeah, I feel like it's more like an adulting type of thing. Like, 4th of July is, like, kids, fireworks, nighttime, like, build up towards that. But this is, like, more so the food-centric, relaxed vibes. I don't know.
Well, and that's why, like, this one, usually people always say in this, like, you got one relative that's going to bring up politics or something like that at the table. And most of the time that's frowned upon in these situations. And so we look at that and say, we sort of introduced something that feels as divisive, maybe, as
pretty
that
much
right now into the equation with this ranch and blue cheese stuff that we got out here. I mean, we've had a
did we put a poll?
We ever actually put up a poll on this one, just because this feels like the sort of LeBron Jordan debate that's so historic when it comes to condiments. I was just more struck, Janae, by how judgmental the blue cheese crowd was, right?
Yeah, the blue cheese crowd called us heathens, suckers. Why, guys? Like, because, like, you're a palate doesn't mean others aren't either, just because ranch is more universally accepted.
I was going to say, just because ranch is better at doing everything than blue cheese is at doing any one thing, doesn't mean that we can't all live together as children of the condiment god. So all this to be said, we need to keep a better set of energies around here right now. We don't need all this negativity dripping into the holiday. And so, Cliff, why don't we kick that off and finish it off the right way? We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
All right, I mentioned there's a lot to be excited about with football coming back. I got an extra shot of life earlier today, Janae, as we keep that same energy. A lot of starting lineups, a lot of starting depth charts getting put out this week for college football teams. Well, Syracuse released its week one depth chart with some interesting wrinkles in here. Chris Elmore, who has 28 career rushing attempts and 3 touchdowns, checks in at 288 pounds and has traditionally been a fullback, H-back body for them. Starting off at left guard this season on the depth chart for them, he is 60 pounds lesser than the right guard opposite him in Darius Tisdale, but right now, a lack of depth there, certainly, and some things around a transfer offensive lineman they're waiting to hear on there, leave him as your starting left guard. So, an early running, the Heisman Trophy, the Heisman given to the best play made by a large person in college football, has someone who looks early to be a favorite in this based on the background skill set. Very excited for big people doing great things, which we support on this here show.
And speaking of which, we were in the break talking about what you big people doing great things. How do you get ice cream to be amenable? We discovered what your trick is.
Yeah, all right. See, we were talking about this. We've just been very hungry during the show over the course of today, and we started talking about Bluebell ice cream versus something like Grater's ice cream.
Bluebell ice cream is the best. Continue.
And we talked about, you know, you said you like ice cream that's hard, not mushy or soft ice cream. And I said the difficulty with that is you got to have the warm-up period. And I said sometimes when you, like, put it in between your legs to warm up or something like that, or roll it around in the hands, and you guys all looked at me like I'm crazy for these warm-up tactics.
Yeah. You put them in your thighs to warm up your ice cream?
I mean, where am I going to generate more heat than between my thighs?
Well, I sort of, like, run some hot water on the sink and then, like, sort of turn the can to the
side. That feels messy, though.
It's not messy. It gets it soft, then I open it.
Your thighs get cold when you do that?
Yeah, like, do you just, like, start making it like a strong, like an Iron Man type of contest, a strong man type of contest?
I mean, I'm like, not, like, squeezing
it. I can stay
it,
there for
to, like,
40 seconds with the ice.
Oh, this isn't like a cold plunge challenge or anything like that. I mean, come on, guys. I've got some sort of sense in this situation.
I actually respect that, but next time I know not to touch the can when I go to your house and eat.
It has had thigh exposure in this situation. Speaking of large thighs and big people doing great things, shout out to Cam Hayward, Pittsburgh Steelers defensive tackle, probably one of the most underrated players each and every year when it comes to the NFL, signing an extension there to stay in Pittsburgh. He announced it, as any great Pittsburgh Steeler would, who went to the Ramon Foster School of Meme Announcements, with the Wolf of Wall Street, I'm not bleeping leaving gif. Although he did have the decency to add and Photoshop himself and all of his teammates into that situation. So shout out and congrats to Cam Hayward, one of the best defensive players around.
And his social and digital team. Kudos.
I'm going to give Cam the credit and say that he did it himself. I'm going to endorse him for Photoshop on LinkedIn after this show.
Ranch, stand up.
Ranch, stand up. We're in the building. We'll see if Spain and Fitz can weigh in on this as they take over here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.